Welcome to Jerusalem Unplugged, the only podcast dedicated to Jerusalem, its history, and its people. Your host, Roberto Mazza, will bring you guests discussing their relationship with the Holy City. A journey through history, society, feelings, and hopes for the future. Follow the podcast on all social media platforms at Jerusalem Unplugged.
Welcome to Jerusalem Unplugged, a podcast dedicated to Jerusalem, its history, and its people. I'm your host, Roberto Mazza, and today my guest is Chef Ibrahim Abu Seir. This is the first episode dedicated to Jerusalem and its food. My guest, Pastor Chef Ibrahim Abu Seir, currently owns a new business dedicated to European and Oriental pastry. The business is just located at the entrance of the Old City through the relatively unknown and little used New Gate. So this is a good reason to go there, go through that gate, and enjoy all the pastries that Chef Abu Seir is offering. Now, there's a lot of stories connected to Chef Abu Seir, including the fact that his family is from Nablus. And while moving to Jerusalem, they brought with them the recipe of knafe made with cheese. And this is something that we are going to definitely talk about. Chef, it is a pleasure having you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for choosing me, being part of your show.
I want to remind the listeners that because the show has been recorded at the very end of what they know they called Seger, so the lockdown in Jerusalem, Chef is now being interviewed in his own business, and you can hear people chatting and the clattering of the coffee mugs and people buying and consuming pastries. So this is a good sign of life, and I decided to keep that noise as a reminder that finally it looks like COVID is towards the end, and hopefully, inshallah, life will restart in the coming months. To every guest, I'm always asking one question, and it's the same for everyone. Chef, what is your Jerusalem? In other words, what is your connection with the city?
No, being a Jerusalemite, it's a bad and a good. It's bad because you cannot go far away from Jerusalem. And it's good because you are living in Jerusalem. Actually, my parents came from Nablus 1959, and my dad decided to open a small sweet shop in the old city of Jerusalem. I have the privilege to be being born in the old city of Jerusalem. I can't forget the way we played all around in the old city places. And my school have been in Jerusalem itself, Terra Santa. It's in the old city. And at that time, the historic things of being Jerusalemite and your parents have a shop inside the old city, to have the privilege to take a break from the school in the middle of the day and going to the old city, having the small piece of knafe as a lunch and going back to the school. You know, that's something nobody, a very rare people has this opportunity to enjoy the Jerusalem of the old city. You know, I travel all around of the world, nearly all the near places. They have this most significant places, but they don't have Jerusalem. Jerusalem, who's Jerusalemite? The moment he's going out from the Dead Sea to the Jerusalem, the moment he's getting to the heights, he opened the window and start smelling the air of Jerusalem. It sounds crazy, but only Jerusalemite people, they have the privilege to know that.
I must say that a previous guest mentioned exactly the same thing. One of the previous guests talked about smelling the air of Jerusalem coming from the mountains. And she was saying that it's a unique experience, something that you cannot smell in other parts of the area, that it's unique to Jerusalem. And I never paid much attention, but I always promised myself that now I know there is something unique I want to next time in Jerusalem. I want to ask you something about growing in the old city of Jerusalem, which is a fascinating story. Particularly across the 1960s. How was the life of Chef-to-be? How was the life of Ibrahim Abu Sair growing in the old city of Jerusalem, if I may?
Again, being a Jerusalemite, I have been born in the old city of Jerusalem. You know, I can't forget that the moment that my father decided to open a sweet shop like Nafe Baklava, and he's a well-known chef about this issue only. And my brother and my grandfather and my uncle, they are working in the same profession. Our house used to be in the old city also. I can't forget the way that we are, the children and the woman, of helping dad or the family of opening the business, like the taking care of the good walnut, taking care of the clean pistachio to prepare for the job. So working as getting the small profession from my parents, yes, I have it from the beginning of my life. The way I get to my field, to European, that's the way of getting the Jerusalemite taste within the European taste, mixing the most taste of the chocolate and the dates of Jerusalem or the rose water or the za'atar somewhere in our bread. Making focaccia with za'atar, you know, it's a different name, European name, and you have the za'atar. The moment you hear za'atar, you said, okay, that's Jerusalemite, or Middle East, let us say, more correct.
Do you think there is a specific pastry or sweet that is unique to Jerusalem?
Actually, I can say there is a specific, maybe I don't know also, but because Jerusalem, it has been passed all the years of getting somebody to take the lead of Jerusalem. Like from 5,000 years till now, Jerusalem hasn't lived independently. Only they live. Somebody has taken control of Jerusalem. You know why all the people, they have the most beautiful things, but they don't have Jerusalem. Jerusalem is something unique that people would like to have it. More of the negotiation is happening now. It's only they are talking mainly about first Jerusalem.
True, but still it's hard to find the solution about it. Let me ask you something, because I read something and it's fascinating. In an interview, you mentioned that your family brought from Nablus knafe with cheese. And I must say that was like a trigger for like, wow, I didn't know that. Can you tell me what is different the knafe in Jerusalem from the one in Nablus?
You know, my family, it's like maybe 100 or 150 years ago, the knafe, my grandfather, he brought somebody from Syria to make some sweets. And one of the things they did together is the knafe. The knafe at that time wasn't made from cheese mainly. It has been from nuts. And financial way, the nuts is more expensive than the cheese. Especially in the north, there is a lot of grain, a lot of lamb, a lot of goat. So people, they are doing more cheese than nuts. And suddenly my grandfather decided to try the knafe with cheese. So I have the honor to have one of my grandfather that he changed the knafe from nuts to cheese. And the most amazing thing is the way they are getting to the knafe to the old city, the way they are doing the dough, the way they are bringing, from who they are bringing the cheese. They are making the knafe very special in Nablus. It's well known to know the knafe. When you hear knafe, you directly think about Nablus. But when you hear begale, you directly think about Jerusalem. Begale is something like you say, okay, begale, it's old city. And whatever I'm going to the north to visit somebody, what do you need from Jerusalem? Bagel. We have a very nice bakery, a very old bakery in Jerusalem. That maybe this oven, maybe 100 years ago, the oven. And he's still making the same bagel. You taste the bagel outside Jerusalem, it is different than what he's doing. Because the humidity of the old city, the water, everything makes good effects of the bagel.
I understand that. I grew up in the north of Italy, in the area of the Parmesan cheese. It's unique. It's like it's made in that place, and whatever is done in other places, it's good, but it's not the same. So I totally understand that. I wanted to ask you something about... you mentioned earlier, you know, people don't have Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is unique, also in terms of food. Another local chef, Ezra Kedem, he talks about this idea of a melting pot of different cuisines in Jerusalem. Do you see the same? Do you think there is a melting pot going on? You too mentioned Arab sweets and European sweets. Do you think the way forward is to mix things together?
Yeah, I think it's a nice taste of mixing the both together. Like we have on Ramadan, we have the kataif, the pancake. The pancake. We have the pancake. I just told my daughter to make me a cupcake, please. So we are doing, I'm doing this pancake with the taste of passion fruit, raspberry, nice decorated with the ruby chocolate. That I'm trying to do, to add the taste of the European to the taste of Palestinian, or let's say Jerusalemite. I'm also today I'm making also something very unique. It's called Jerusalemite truffle. You know, when you say truffle, you directly say all the mushroom truffle, or you take about the truffle itself. You know, the chocolate truffle. Today I'm mixing together. What is things together? I'm making something from nuts and honey and dates. I'm making it with chocolate and some with pistachio. It would look like a truffle coated with chocolate. But at the end, it will be, I think it will be a nice idea. I am imagining now the taste.
It's fascinating to see, I mean, how tradition and various traditions are coming together, making something new. Remaining with food, Jerusalem cuisine is famous for being stuffed. Everything is stuffed. Veggie with meat and everything. Is it the same with pastries? I mean, in terms of a traditional pasty in Jerusalem, is everything kind of like stuffed?
No, not everything. No. I agree with food. Yes, with food. Yes, but some we have some without stuffing, like mushabak. Mushabak, it's a. It's something that you deep fry it. We have the awami, the zangula. It's also deep fried. You don't stuff it, but it will be great for the, for example, the cold zangula, and you fill it with some ganache or chocolate. You know, that's an idea of having such a great idea of doing taste and the dessert, not necessarily to have everything stuffed.
Wow, that's very not like the very interesting. I must say that I need to try something like that one day. I wanted to ask you something about another very common. It's not really a sweet, but certainly something that you can find. Like in your place in bakeries, burekas. There's a lot of stories who brought burekas to Jerusalem. I'm not really interested if it was like the Arabs, the Jews, or anybody else. But I was wondering, how do you make your burekas?
You know something? Something I don't love, I don't like, I don't do. That's what makes them by my patisserie so unique. Actually, one of the things that people that are doing of the burekas, it's not really from butter. People that are doing the burekas here in this country from margarine. And margarine, it's you know, something like it will stick on your blood. And actually, my place is very unique, small. I don't have the time and the place of thinking about doing these burekas. I believe of doing things, especially in Jerusalem, doing things from hearts. Something I don't like, I don't do. And I have my customers here that they said, okay, they are coming to the Old City. The moment they are getting to the Old City, they are thinking about tahina, bagel, knafe, baklava, sumsum, and that's what they are thinking. Suddenly, they are getting to the new gate, and they are facing my little patisserie with the European side. Most of the people there, what this place is doing in the Old City. That's the idea of my view of being Jerusalemite in the Old City. I have to do something different that people would like. And I think I succeed to do that. Alhamdulillah,
I'm pretty sure of that. Let me ask you something about ingredients, because you just mentioned margarine, which is obviously terrible. Do you have specific ingredients that are coming from Jerusalem that are you using, that you're using in your pastries?
No, one of the chocolate I can't find in Jerusalem. I have to be realistic. But one of the things that mainly I'm using a lot and I'm buying only from Jerusalem is the spices. This what make our Christmas Stollen. Stollen is a very Christmas cake in Germany, in Austria sometimes. What make it so special is the spices I bought from the Old City. Everybody is telling me it has a nice aroma, nice spice. And only from getting down to the market and having this fresh spices, like the ginger and all the, you know, the spice market. Our spice market is so special in Jerusalem.
Yeah, and inshallah, it's going to be now filled with people once COVID will be over.
Inshallah.
I saw some pictures online, and it really was sad to see all of Yala is completely deserted and the shops closed. So hopefully.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you this because you mentioned that you open your business in by the new gate, which is a rather unique place in the city. It's in the Christian quarter, facing Notre Dame, and it's unusual for people, tourists, for instance, to walk around. Is there any particular reason why you opened there?
I have to tell you something, Roberto, no? Until now, I don't know how things happen to open in the new game. It's God's will, you know. It is God's will to have the opportunity of being a Muslim, opening in the Christ quarter, a patisserie, European patisserie, a French patisserie. These all things, I can say only God's will. I searched so many places, but my thing, my good luck from God is to open here. And there is some effects. It happened that people here in the Christian quarter, they know me. I've been a pastry chef instructor at the Notre Dame for 15 years. And being a Jerusalemite that has been studied at the Teresanta School, so most of the people of the Christian quarter, they know me personally. And there is maybe, let us say, from three houses, one of the houses, one of his, or the father, or the son, or the daughter, or the wife, that I taught her the pastry profession. So these connections make, I had no problem with that at all, till now. I'm not feeling any problem. And it will never happen.
Yeah, I thought about, it's such a strange location. And I mean, personally, I know it very well. I worked at the archives of the custody of the Holy Land, which is just across the street. So, but I always noticed that not many people going around. So I was fascinated by this location, and I found it unique, really. I want to ask you something because you mentioned Terra Santa. So I want to bring you back to your youth, your childhood. Terra Santa is an amazing school. It's a very interesting institution. How was Ibrahim Abu Seir in Terra Santa? Can you share some of the stories when you were growing up and studying there?
You know, I can't forget the Father Rock, the principal, the tall guy. You know, when you say Father Rock, in the Terra Santa, and all people that have been studying in Terra Santa, they directly never forget Father Rock. He has been tough and well known of educating the people, of taking care of the good manners and good respect, not smoking, working decent in the street. Wherever he's walking decent in the street and he's seen one of his students behaving bad, the next day in the morning, come to the office. Get your family. Get your father. You know, that's what we are missing here now. We are missing the school that helps the parents to educate their children in manners, I mean. The school was at that time taking care of the health student getting good manners. Now, the school is zero helping their parents. And the parents, they don't have the time for their children. That means our children is lost.
We are going to take a short break. Thank you for listening. And remember to join our Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter accounts. If you have any story, anyone you want me to interview, please get in touch and let me know. Thank you for listening and enjoy the rest of the podcast. I was wondering, you grew up in the old city. Obviously, your family was running a business of sweets and pastries. Did you always feel that you were going to become a chef? Or you had at some point thoughts about doing something different?
Two things I have to tell you. The first of myself, the second is my family. Myself, it's I've been, when the moment I graduate, one of my colleagues, I plan to study engineer, something different. And suddenly my colleague, he told me, why don't we go to Bethlehem University? They have the hotel management, its languages, and so many of things that it can open for you. I said, I don't know, let us try. Until now, I'm a hotelier. I like to do things, you know. What's happened to me with the pastries, when I started my field, the first chef that I had is a French chef. The moment I get to his kitchen at the Hyatt Regency in Jerusalem, I tried to, I have a plan to work 1 year in the pastry, 1 year in the butcher, 1 year in the gold kitchen to get experience of all the kitchens. My chef refused to transfer me to other kitchen. Now I understand why he refused. Because he saw something inside Ibrahim. Nobody saw it, only him, as an experienced guy. The second thing I'm telling you, I have my daughter, Mariam. My daughter, Mariam, she finished school in 2 years. She planning to get nursing study. And suddenly, she decided to study chef by herself. After working with me for together with the new shop, 3 months, she decided to study chef. After making the good decision that we let her think again and again and again, she decided again to study chef. And in August, she will start a good course in Tel Aviv, in a high school, in a very good school of teaching culinary, that it costs a lot of money. But even her father is a chef, I decided that she will go and see things differently than what she can see it from her father. I think she can gain the two sides here.
So the tradition will go on with your children. You think they're going to carry on with your tradition?
I think it's a blessed thing.
And I think it's, particularly in your business, I mean, sweet and pastries, they're very traditional. I think it's nice to see the progression, particularly that your family started, you are carry on, and your children. I want to ask you something. You worked in hotels, you have your own business, you lived in the city, you saw the city changing in the 1960s from the Jordanians and then the Israelis, and then lots of politics, lots of things have happened. How did you change? How did your work as a chef change vis-a-vis all of these changes in the city? Did the politics, the events that unfolded influence your work?
You know, I've been the pastry chef of the David Citadel Hotel for 18 years. And it is a very high standards hotel and very expensive one. I can deny that I have the good opportunity of my chef to support me, of being a Jerusalemite Muslim chef, to be a pastry chef of this high standard hotel with high kosher also. It has been a very difficult time for me. How to think from being a Jerusalemite or being Israeli? And I have to mix both of them of thinking. I cannot deny or refuse of being in Israel, living in the old city. I have to think widely, not taking things, I mean profession. I'm not talking, you know, chefs, they are very bad in politics. They are very bad. And the moment you decide to go this line of profession of being the pastry chef of the high standard hotel, you have to think widely, how to do things nicely, how to open, instead of baking big cakes, you have to make small cakes that people will taste many types. The tastes of European and Jerusalemite together, that I used to do it from that time, like before maybe 15 years, one of the my chef asked me to do a menu for the lobby. One of the desserts that I did, it's kinafe filled with nuts and pistachio ice cream. Before 15 years, you know, it's not like yesterday, maybe more. I've been 5 years out of the hotel. That means maybe before 20 years, I did that. In the hotel, that people, they didn't hear to have the knafe with ice cream. That the things I did in the my experience of mixing and being a chef and passing all the changing it happens in the you know, Jerusalem is the most beautiful city in the world, I think. But it has the most stupid people in the world. They're thinking, I don't know, they are thinking very deeply of having bad things, why he has, why I don't have. Why I have it, he should not have it. You know, that's only stupid things that we are thinking. They are giving energy on bad things instead of giving energy on good things, like chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate is always good. It's a very good energy. I want to ask you something, because you said, and I would agree with you, that chefs are good in the kitchen, not much good at politics. And yet, you and other chefs in Jerusalem created a group of people called Chef for Peace. Try to use food to establish, I would say, a better dialogue between the various communities of Jerusalem. I was wondering, what do you make of this experience? If any food can foster a positive dialogue?
You know, I've been part of the Chefs for Peace since 20 years. And our friend, Kivork Alimian, who established this Chefs for Peace, we have always a nice expression about we are using the most sharpness utensils of knives, but we are using good things from the knife, not to kill each other. Using the knife to make the good food. And actually, our chefs, when we meet together in the kitchen, and you will laugh, but I don't know, you will laugh about it. We talk about two things. We don't talk about two things. We don't talk about religion and politics. We talk always about food and women.
I was going to say food and football, but you said food and woman. I totally understand that.
And women will talk about men. It's
absolutely.
Women chefs also at the group. Really, you know why we think about chef for peace is if you have a problem with your wife. I think everybody will be quiet only in two ways. They're sleep or they are eating.
I take this comment smiling, absolutely.
It's a reality. The moment you are feeding, you have your mouth full, that means you are quiet. For that reason, the chefs of peace have a part of having this kind of, inshallah, the big president will make them food. So we'll let them to live at least 10 minutes of peace at the table.
I'm close to end this conversation, but I have still a couple of questions. One, how do you manage the smell of chocolate all day long?
You know, actually, what I taught my daughter every time we are opening a bag of chocolate, always to put her nose and smell. By years, she will let her nose know the percentage of the cocoa powder inside the chocolate without tasting. She has to get experience, and she's doing that.
Wow, this is really professional.
Yeah.
I have one last question. If you were to summarize Jerusalem in one of your suites, let's say if you were to think about one cake or a pastry that would represent Jerusalem, and you now go to your kitchen and make it, what would it be?
Chocolate. I will do chocolate.
Chocolate cake, chocolate pastries.
No, actually we are doing now a chocolate eggs because of the Easter. You know, one of the things that like chocolate, usually eggs, it's an empty chocolate. But what I'm doing, I'm making a full eggs of chocolate. Like I'm doing the egg as a cake, like a cream and coulis and some crunchy things. The egg, it's like a cake, but the shape of egg. You know, I will do chocolate praline. Chocolate praline.
I never thought Jerusalem and chocolate, but I think you just convinced me.
Inshallah, in May, you'll pass out, you'll taste.
This was Chef Ibrahim Abu Sehir with his interesting stories about pastries in Jerusalem and something about Jerusalem and chocolate that I didn't know. I want to wish him and all the businesses, like he's badly hit by COVID, great success once COVID will be behind us. Thank you once again, Chef Ibrahim Abu Sehir.
Thank you very much, Roberto. Take care.
And to all listeners, If you visit Jerusalem, remember, go through the New Gate. It's worth it.